We often say thank God. Let's talk about thanking Christ. Thank Christ for the conditions that require you to be still. We sometimes get used to a hectic life. And I know I'm the person who has to be doing something. Now that could be reading, studying, you know, something quite quiet and still, but I have to be doing something. I'm addicted to things that are interesting. And so, in fact, if I have to sit for 5 minutes with uninteresting things, I start getting sleepy and feel like I'm going to take a nap. But there are times when God calls us to be still. My wife, the example, she always busy, busy, busy. Now she's not so busy, but calls me to do it. So, no, that's not true. God has given her a situation where she is going to be still for a while. Zechariah 2:13, "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." The Hebrew here, the habitation of his holiness. He is raised up. In the context of Zechariah, he is raising up to save them, to vindicate them, to take care of them. And it's not happening because of all the yelling and screaming and chanting and all that kind of thing. It's happening because God is ready to do that. John Gill said, "Be filled with fear, awe, and astonishment at the wonderful work of God, the destruction of Antichrist, the conversion of the Jews, and the calling of the Gentiles. Let them not open their mouths nor dare to say one word against it or think that their words cause it." So here's my point. Do not spoil these quiet hours by wishing them away. If you can see this as, you know, day by day, toils and troubles, all these things, don't spoil these quiet hours by wishing them away, waiting impatiently to be active again. Some of the greatest works in Christ's kingdom have been done from sick beds and from prison cells, including many of Paul's epistles. Instead of resenting the limitations of a weakened body, search for Christ's way in the midst of these very circumstances. Limitations can be liberating. Sounds like contradiction in terms. When your strongest desire is living close to Christ, that's the thing. Being still before him, taking the quiet time as a time of settling in, of nestling in, of resting your head on the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. If your greatest goal is living close to him, then breaking you loose from constant activity is a blessing that God has planned for you. Quietness and trust enhance your awareness of Christ's presence with you. Do not despise these simple ways of serving Christ. Although you feel cut off from the activity of the world, your quiet trust makes a powerful statement in spiritual realms. Isaiah 30, verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning," and this is conversion, this is repentance, "in turning, and rest ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And ye would not." You refused to do it my way. Albert Barnes goes through the verse for us. "For thus saith the Lord God." The design of this verse is to give a reason for the destruction that should come upon them. That reason was that God had indicated to them the path of truth and safety, but they chose not to follow it and refused to put confidence in him. So then the phrase "in returning" is in returning to God. That is, if you are converted to him. and rest. That is, by calmly reposing on God for assistance and not seeking the alliance of Egypt. In quietness, here's a picture of in a collected, quiet state of mind. In confidence, by putting simple trust in God, shall be your strength. You shall be safe, your enemies shall not be able to overcome and subdue you. Our strength is our faith, our confidence in the Lord. Again, 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, Paul relates, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, this sounds like victory, you see. Albert Barnes points out, it is one of the instances in which the fervent prayer of a good man, offered undoubtedly in faith, was not answered in the form in which he desired, though substantially answered in the assurance of grace sufficient to support him. It furnishes, therefore, a very instructive lesson in regard to prayer and shows us that we are not to expect, as a matter of course, that all of our prayers will be literally answered and that we should not be disappointed or disheartened if they are not. It is a matter of fact that not all the prayers, even of the pious and of those who pray having faith in God as a hearer of prayer, are literally answered. They are answered in God's way, in God's will. This answer was, no, Paul, I'm doing this on purpose. You are accomplishing an amazing amount of things. And if they say it's because of Paul, it's because of his education, it's because of his intelligence, because of his dynamic personality, then they've lost the essence of what you're trying to do. In seeming to be a success, you're going to be a failure. Interesting thought, isn't it? But if you are weak, whatever is going on here, see, thorn in the flesh, if he's the preacher who coughs, if he's the preacher who limps, if he's the preacher who pulls out a Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass to see what's going on, you know, then they're saying, well, he's not so powerful, but the one he preaches is really powerful. Christ's strength and power show themselves most effective in your weakness. So let us thank God when he requires us to be still, when he gives us a weakness, when he gives us a timeout. Where did I see it? Somebody was saying, I should be put in timeout. Send me to a beach where I have to stay quiet for quite a while. Time out.